سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. We're still in tafsir of Ayat al-Kursi, and a few interesting things that have come up, that will come up today, is that the choice of these two names that Allah has chosen, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. We discussed these names in details. And we said Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum are, as they call in Arabic, the mother of all names. Right? The Arabs have a funny way of saying the mother of everything, like the mother of all battles, the mother of all wars. Similarly, in names, in attributes. I know when we were all young, or up to today probably in madrasa, when we teach the attributes of Allah, the two different versions we have is Sifat-e Subutiyya and Sifat-e Salbiyya. More recently, scholars have divided it as Sifat-e Zatiyya and Sifat-e Fi'liyya. Sifat-e Subutiyya and Sifat-e Salbiyya are both Sifat-e Zatiyya. Salbiyya are those that cannot be associated with Allah at all. And Sifat-e Subutiyya are the Sifat-e Zatiyya. Alim, Hay, Qadir, these are inherently Him. Right? The ones we say Sifat-e Zatiyya. If you remember, Al-Hay was the mother of all attributes that are inherently Him, Zatiyya. Whereas Al-Qayyum is the mother of all attributes that are Fi'liyya, that means they are action as far as He is concerned. Now, to explain the difference between Zatiyya and Fi'liyya, try and understand the Arabic words as I speak, because Zatiyya are Him, inherently Him, Fi'liyya are by action. Attributes that are by action, that means He creates. He gives sustenance, He gives life, He gives death. He is alive. That is inherently Him. So Hayy is Zatiyya, but Ihya, to give life, is Fi'liyya, right? Shaykh Al-Qulayni rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi describes the difference between Zatiyya and Fi'liyya. If you come across any attribute, where would you place it? Fi'liyya or Zatiyya? Right? He says the difference, the deciding factor is that whatever cannot be associated with its opposite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever attribute that cannot be paired with its opposite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fall under Zatiyya. So for example, when you talk of knowledge, is there any degree of ignorance that can come together that can be paired with Allah's knowledge? It can't. And therefore knowledge is Zatiyya. But when it comes to, for example, pleasure, rida, there is ghadab. So the two opposites can take together, that can be attributed to Allah. And therefore they will be fi'liyya, they won't fall under Zatiyya. To give life is an attribute of Allah, but to give death is also an attribute of Allah. And therefore giving life and giving death, because the opposite can be paired together, both of them attributed to Allah, they will be under what you call fi'liyya and not Zatiyya. Apart from that, anything else that cannot be paired, attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with its opposite, will go for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as sifat zatiyya. So you have the example of power. Is there anything which you can say, kibana ama Allah ni power nati ki kudrat nati? You can't. When it comes to life, there is no chance we can say that there is a time or there is that space when life is not there in Allah. You can't do that. So all these things, whichever cannot be coupled with its opposite when attributing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are sifat-e zatiyya, whereas the rest are sifat-e fi'liyya. This is a description described by Shaykh Khulaini when he discusses sifat-e zatiyya and sifat-e fi'liyya. Ayatullah Tabatabai gives a different factor. The criterion which he uses to decide which will be Zatiyya and which will be Fi'liyya is that for Fi'liyya, there will have to be something on which that action has to be worked upon. You see, for khalq, for Allah to be khalq, He has to have created something. And therefore the existence of the creation or the creature has to be there for Allah to be called khalq. Raziq, Muhyi, Mumit. All these things, Ayatollah Tabatabai says, that when there is a third existence on which Allah's attribute has worked upon, that would be called Sifat-e Fi'aliyah. When there is nothing, Allah's ilm is independent of anything else. Allah's life, hay, is independent of everything else. Allah's Qudrat is independent of everything else. Whereas Allah's Khalq, creation, where can He be a Khalq? When there exists something. This is Ayatollah Tabatabai's explanation.
Where would Rahm fit in? Rahm.
Rahmah.
Is Rahma.
What is it? Allah's Fi'aliyah or... by both the criteria, tell me.
Well, obviously it...
Zati or Fi'ali?
Well, it fits onto something. You don't have Rahma on anything. It has to be... So it's an object. On that basis. But on the other basis, the opposite...
Ghadab.
Of Rahma.
Absolutely. It is His.
Fair enough. So His
What
is the exact meaning of the word Zatiya?
Zatiya itself. Sir.
In Arabic, that's what it means.
Yes. Zatuhu means its essence. Right? That means the essence, the core, the self.
And fa'al means action.
No. Action.
What does fa'al mean?
Fi'al. Fi'al means action.
Means action.
Yes. Fi'al is action. Verb. So Zat is self. So when you say fi'ala dhatiya, means we're describing the essence of Him. Knowledge, life. Out of the two criteria, of course, I personally favor the first one, Sheikh Khulaini's criteria. Something that cannot be coupled with its opposite, to be attributed to Allah, fits in better. Right? Although the other one may be true, I mean it is true. But the two descriptions put together can give us a very clear division that this is Sifat-e Zatiya and Sifat-e Fi'aliyya.
In the two explanations, some say, for example, like Sheikh Khulaini's one, some which we put into one country and it was put into a different country in another one?
No, I think the dividing line is very, very clear between the attributes as far as the Shias are concerned. And you will find that almost all of them fit into both, although there is something, for example, I give you the power of Sami'a. Inna Allaha Sami'un Basir. Are these Dhatiya or Fi'aliyya? Allah has the power to listen Dhatiya. Dhatiya according to Sheikh Khulaini's criteria. Because Sheikh Khulaini says there is nothing He cannot hear. Everything He hears. So something He cannot hear cannot be coupled with something He can hear. And therefore, because it's total, right, totality, it is His as Sifat-e Zatiya. But if you look at the criteria of Ayatollah Tabatabai, then it says it depends, because what would He hear if there is no third creature, if there is no other existence?
The same thing goes for ill, because if there's nothing that exists to know, what would He know?
No, you would
know
enough to create. No, I mean, they are both the same actually, these two questions really. They're both very similar. In different wordings, they have used the same, because the nature of opposites only comes into being when there is a second part involved. Because Allah is unchanging.
When there is finite.
Yeah. So there is Ghazab and there is Rahman. Or for example, one can say creation. Khalq, he was not always a creator. See, I've always understood it to be Zatiya, I always thought was something that He always was and always will be. And Fi'aliyya, I always thought was something that He at times wasn't.
Is that true? Sorry?
He wasn't always a creator. He became a creator the day He created.
His
creation, obviously, exist after him. He touched it.
Isn't he always still the creator?
No. He has the power to create. Fugula is something else.
He had to be
alone.
You see,
he had the power to create. The power is infinite. No beginning, no end. But the attribute of being a creator started at a point when creation started.
So then, once creation started, all the other failures started as well. Rahma.
You argue that the attributes of Allah are part of Him. There can be no addition to Allah taking away. Then, if you say that the attribute of creator came after, then you're.
The qudrat for creation did not come after. But He was certainly not a creator already.
Not that He couldn't, but He didn't.
Exactly. But I mean, I think that in a sense they are similar.
But this one that you're talking about, Samir, it's interesting because can it fall into both categories? According to the difference?
Yeah, I think Samir and Basir are both Zatiya.
Zatiya?
Yes, they are both Zatiya because even though you're saying what will you listen to, I don't think listening, I think these are all perceptions. Samir and Basir here mean perceiving things. It's we who see and hear to perceive. But Allah is not limited by senses, only we are.
True.
Can I ask you one question? Who came first? Khulaini or Tabatabai?
Of course, Khulaini.
I'm not sure, that's what I'm asking.
Tabatabai is this century.
Tabatabai died 20 years ago.
So
10 or 15 years ago.
So did Tabatabai explain why did he find the previous definition inadequate?
No, he does not disprove the previous thing.
No, nothing disproved. Why did he want to expand on it or make another one or make something different? He must have thought, well, this is not enough. If it was enough for him, he wouldn't bother.
I think they did not even discuss. You see, what they have done is they have written their own perception. Right? They have not mentioned. This one, he has not mentioned in his tafsir at all. This one he mentions. That I find this is his conclusion. Without referring to the conclusion of Shaykh al-Kulayni rahmatullahi alayhi at all. Now, this you find the advantage of having another scholar discussing all various tafsirs is that you get this different viewpoint when necessary. Although he concentrates on the methodology of Ayatollah Tabatabai in tafsir, Sayyid Kamal al-Haydari actually, as you will see even when it comes to why Sinat and Naum, why Sinat comes before Naum, you will find that he refers to even a greater Mufassir and says this is his view and I believe this is the right view. So he does not stick to one Mufassir. Ayatollah Tabatabai and many other scholars sometimes refer to a new kind of description without referring to the past.
Because by understanding that, we would have maybe found a better idea. Because he must have heard of it.
Yeah.
And he must have thought,
and
well, this
I personally, like I say, applying both would be easier. Right? The times when, 99% you'll be able to apply both and get away with it. Right? He's just throwing a different perception. Right? I'm yathayshaki. Like Abbas has just proved this, I always thought that anything that is infinitely his is zatiya.
Which is the third
episode. Which is another one.
I think they're all just variations of the same thing.
But you say that, but when you find something that either fits that one or that one, then there's got to be something that's different.
I think before you find all that, you've got to wonder first of all, what is the difference between Zati and Fali and how important is it? Okay, I think Tabatabai is leading this into a prelude into philosophy, is he not?
Yeah.
That's right, this is the roots of falsafa. Otherwise, what does it matter to you and I? Which it is. They are both Allah's sifat, right? But in philosophy it matters. As a preamble.
Right. Now, when we see that Allah is Hayy and Qayyum, we say that this verse is proving Allah's unity, Tawheed, if you remember. Right? Now the second interesting thing that this verse proves, and this is where the Shias exclusively do this tafsir apart from the Sunnis. Yeah, the Sunnis do not believe this. And that is that this verse also proves that Allah is Adl. Adl ilahi. Sunni logon ki matlab hai. The Sunnis do not believe that Allah is just. Right? Most of the Sunnis have different schools of thought saying that Allah will do whatever he likes and nobody can question him and so on. How will it prove? With, of course, the help of other verses from the Quran, prove that the with Tawheed comes is justice. And the key word is Qayyum. Qayyum, if you remember, Qayyum means somebody who is supervising or maintaining things. We said he is alive. Hey, Qayyum, by him everything is running in this world. By his presence, by his power. That means he is overseeing or supervising everything that is going on. The question is, what method is he adopting to get that done? How is he doing it? At his whims? Whenever he wishes? Or is there a system that has been set up? Or has he laid down certain criteria by which he follows that criteria and the criteria is known to men? That is the question that Mufassirin would ask. And from the Quran, there are answers. So let us look at those answers. Yeah. Surah Al-Imran, verse number 18. Right. Let's read the verse. What does the verse say? شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوْ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. This verse is very interesting if understood in the light of what it says regarding to Qayyum. Now Allah is Qayyum, that means He is overseeing things, He is in charge of what is happening around us. To put it very basically. Now here in this verse Allah says, شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو. He gives testimony that there is no God but He. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. And angels also, that is, give testimony. And people who have knowledge. قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. You see the fatha, from whom it becomes a fatha. Now it's fatha referring to Allah. This is Arabic grammar. Because when it is Dhamma, it is referring to the people who testify. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. Right? These are the people who are giving testimony. To who? To the existence of Allah, that there is no God but Allah. قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. قَائِمًا is the same word that is قَيُّم. قَيُّم نقائم are derived from the same root. قائمًا means he is in charge. He is above things. He is standing over things. بالقسط. قسط is translated as
justice.
لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. You see, if you remember that rule that we discussed a few times ago, that the two last words of the verse determine what the whole overall message of the verse is. La ilaha illa huwa al-azizul hakim. Aziz is his might. With his might he works things, and with his wisdom he is just. So qa'iman bil qist. Qa'iman is that he is in charge of things by his might. بالقسط is بالحكمة. That his justice is by using his wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, when we read the verse قيوم, that's what Mufassirin, Shia Mufassirin would ask. If he is قيوم, if he is in charge of affairs, if he is in charge of everything that is going on this earth, then what is his system? What is his method? Is it something that is exclusive to his wishes and desires? Or is there a system that has to be followed? And the system that Allah has laid down in the Holy Quran is that he follows the system of justice. Qist. قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. And قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ is not used only here. Right? There are other verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ, which shows that he, the method he adopts, is using justice. Any questions? No questions. Now, the words related to Qayyum are to remain firm, for example. Qa'imun bil qist, he is standing firm with justice. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also orders us, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلْدِينِ حَنِيفًا فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلْدِينِ حَنِيفًا ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. Right? Meaning that ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ, again, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلْدِينِ حَنِيفًا. All these أَقِمْ and قَيِّمْ are related to justice. That all prophets were granted that message, granted that command, given that command from Allah, that they have to remain firm in justice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with tawheed, that's in Ayatul Kursi, along with that goes the message of his justice. Now, before we go on to the last, before we go on to Lahuma fi samawati wa fi al-ard, the last part of this Hayy al-Qayyum, La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, which we have seen briefly in the past, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He is Qayyum, when He is in charge of things, then neither will sleep, what do you call, slumber. Is that slumber? Something slumbering? Sina is slumber. Neither will slumber overtake him nor sleep.
Drowsiness
is not slumber.
No, slumber means drowsiness.
Yeah. Does it? I thought slumber was deep sleep.
No.
No, deep slumber is deep
sleep. No, slumber is not sleep, it's drowsiness.
Slumber is a
No, no, you are I think it's a sleep or light sleep.
Yeah.
Light sleep.
Obviously, you are saying Sina is the smaller form of
no. Definitely, no. Sina is definitely the slumber. You see, remember we did these three things. Sina, Naum, and we as ordinary people, we will be overtaken by first drowsiness, then sleep, and then death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be overtaken by either of these things. Any of these things, right? Neither drowsiness, nor sleep, nor death. Granted. Now, the question that Abbas had asked last time was that why first sinner? Why drowsiness? Because if you are negating something, this is the principle of eloquence. When you are negating something, you negate the large one first and then the small one. To show focus on the small one. He cannot sleep nor even become drowsy, right? And if you are proving something, that you make a positive statement, then you start with the smaller one and the larger one. This is a principle of eloquence. Ayatollah Tabatabai has tried explaining this. In fact, Ayatollah Tabatabai has said this has no relation to the principles of eloquence as to how it is spoken or how it is said. But Sheikh Al-Alusi in Ruh Al-Ma'ani, this is another tafsir of the Shia, he says the key word here is ta'akhuduhu. La ta'akhuduhu sinatu wa la nawm. Ta'akhuduhu means what? If you take akhada, you know akhada is to take level, right? If you mean that he is not overtaken by drowsiness or by sleep, right? Then you may be right, that this is not the right order of words, because it should be first sleep and then drowsiness. But akhada does not have that meaning. Akhada means more than just being overtaken. Akhada means he is not compelled or forced into drowsiness or sleep. La yaqhuru, la yaghlibu. That means that we as human beings are weak. Sleep overcomes us is lighter than saying okay, we are compelled to sleep, we are forced to sleep, or we are forced to die, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not overcome by anything, nor is He compelled by anything, right? when you say force, then you say he is not forced by a smaller force nor even a larger force. And in that manner he says that he is not forced by even drowsiness nor even by a larger force than drowsiness, which is sleep. It is easy for us to say, okay, I'm a drowsiness on the way, but sleep when it comes. You know, for us human beings, when we are talking of ourselves, we can be compelled by sleep. We can overcome drowsiness. But we will be then forced to sleep because of our weaknesses. When you're talking of Allah, you're talking of forces. These forces don't work on Him. The force of drowsiness and the force of sleep. And because you're talking of forces, you talk of the lighter one first and then the larger. This is Shaykh Lalusi in Ruh al-Ma'ani. And according to Sayyid Kamal al-Haydari, says it's probably the best explanation. It explains all these various things that Mufassirin have tried to explain, that this is eloquence and this is not eloquence, it's got nothing to do with eloquence and so on. He says, if we look at the word ta'khuduhu and translate that not as overcome only, but as force, then we will understand why Allah used the word sinna first and then not.
Did you ever mention about the answer to the Christians? Tafsir Mashiah is the answer to the Christians or not?
Tafsir?
Tabatabai Manati
Pa. Tabat. Amashiah, Tabatabai Mashiah.
Christian ne jawab chahiye.
No. Tabatabai Manati. Tabatabai Manati, but you see, the Tabatabai Masuch hai, ke there are two verses in the Holy Quran. Ek chhe Surat Qaf, verse number 38. Allah says that after creating the skies and the earth, do you think we are tired? Right? We are not tired. Okay. This verse is also لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. But not the context of this revelation of this verse was in reply to the Christians. There is a general message that Allah is not tired, never tired by any of such things.
Why then the words were used, sleep? Words came used here. Sleep in the first place. Why? What does it belong to?
Sinatun wala naum.
Is it because sleep means okay, not able to be?
No. These are the three antidotes of qaymuma. Right? The qaymuma is the power of looking over things. In total control. Away. If I say I am in control of things, what are the antidotes? Forget my power, forget my knowledge, forget my ability, forget my willingness, everything is there. The only antidotes that can stop me from doing what I am doing is either drowsiness, sleep or death. Okay, death has been negated by the word hayy. لَا تَأْخُذُوا سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. So all these three are covered. Will not stop it.
There's a fourth thing, forgetfulness. But that would come under drowsiness?
Forgetfulness.
Forgetfulness. Distraction.
Forgetfulness. Forgetfulness would come under?
Drowsiness.
It comes under hype. If you remember the question you asked me, okay, what do you know, whose definition is a hype? You remember what definition we were talking of? Hay is anything that can?
Sense
and
will.
Yeah. Sense would include?
Elf.
Yeah. Knowledge. So there is no room for forgetfulness. See, that is why these two names that have been chosen encompass everything that is possible. All the 99 names. When it's called the cream of the verses, it covers everything. You pick up any attribute, you will find that it will fall under either Hayy or Qayyum, Sifa Zatiya or Sifa Fi'liya. These two words describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, now, we go on to Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. And the key word here is Lahu. Lahu as in possession. Milkiyat. Ownership. I don't know how many of you were with us when we were doing Surah Al-Hamd, because I see new faces every time. And therefore many people were not there when we started Surah Al-Hamd. Surah Al-Hamd, when we got to Maliki Yawm al-Din, we said there is a difference between Maliki Yawm al-Din and Maliki Yawm al-Din. Maliki Yawm al-Din and Maliki Yawm al-Din. Both are accepted readings and both have a different meaning. Now, as a test, let's find out.
Isn't Malik restricted?
Ji?
Isn't Malik restricted? He was a kingdom or whatever, but Malik is...
Malik ne Malik, basically. Fatha ne Alif.
Malik.
Malik,
Malik
with
the
Malik.
Malik
is over everything.
Uh-huh. Ne Malik. Ne Malik.
Is, say, kingdom of a particular...
day or time
day,
or...
day, whatever.
Restricted.
That is how you remember it, Ji. How do you remember?
Malik is owner, Malik is king.
Sorry?
Malik is owner,
master.
Uh-huh.
Malik is king.
Okay, good. Malik is owner, Malik is
king.
Is king. So what is the difference?
Well, Malik as in, he belongs to him.
Malik.
Yeah.
So the king can be a Malik.
No.
Malik can be a king.
Malik
can
be. Malik is the higher.
Malik is
the
higher.
Malik is the king.
King can rule.
King rules, but not possess, maybe.
Mm. So, hey, what is true to God? Is he Malik or Malik? Lahu jo lam chune, that lam, lahu is... Right. Just let us look at these two words. Tabarak alladhi biyadihi mulk as-samawati wal ardh. Right? That mulk is as in rule. When it comes to lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ardh, or لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that means he owns, he possesses. Right? Now, his possession is of two kinds. One, as we call them in Arabic, الْحَقِيقِيَّة. Translated, this would be? Huh?
Possession
real.
By
right. Al-i'tibariya. The nearest translation in English would be real and?
By right.
Virtual. This is the nearest translation again. Real is real. Virtual is virtual. Now, can you think here, what is real and what is virtual? Ownership. This book, I say, is mine. Right? Is this real ownership or virtual ownership? Virtual.
It's real.
Huh?
It's real. You can dispose of it if you want.
It's not real. What is the criteria? You see, you have to understand what is the criteria for itemizing things as real and virtual. Benutal. Real ownership is not transferable. When you possess something that cannot be transferred, that is real. If it is something that can be transferred, then you are only a temporary owner. Right? You are a virtual owner, only by name only. And you have book my passes, you can't be open. My ownership has been transferred.
Then it's not real and virtual, is it? It's temporary and permanent.
Well, whatever you call it. The words that are used is al-haqiqiyya and al-i'tibariyya. Al-i'tibariyya is that your al-i'tibari means it is not yours, but it's considered yours in legal terms, in legality. Yeah. The nearest words I found are actually real and virtual ownership. Hakriya is true.
Can you give us an example of that one?
Yeah, I will. Right? First of all, this is the first thing. It's not transferable. A real one is not transferable. Number two, that the real one remains even with the owner when he dies. So, when the owner dies, the real possession dies with him. You see, everything that we possess here, our houses, oil, cars, oil, right, whatever we have, are these real? Because when we die, these are going to be transferred to somebody else. Again, it's not transferable at all, even with that. And the last one, which is the most interesting, is that whatever you possess real, right, somebody else cannot make use of it without your permission. And this is, I'm not talking of legalities, I'm talking of just cannot. This is mine, right? Can somebody make use of it without my permission? We're not talking of legal halal or haram, we're talking of the possibility. Somebody can pick up the book and read it. Yet, I have something which only I can use. Nobody else can use it. Nobody else can simply use it, because you know, okay, there is no possibility at all. That would be my real possession. Nothing else I possess. Right? So in reality, what I possess, for example, I possess the power of vision, the power of sight. The power of sight, I can see. This power is mine, exclusively mine. What I see, nobody can force me not to see. They can guide me. What I see, I will see. This is mine. When I die, I take that power with me. That power is not transferred to anybody. Right? The eye may be transferred, which is not the power to see. The eye is just a tool. The power to see will remain mine and only mine, and nobody can use that without my permission. If I die, it dies with me. That is real power. Baki nitakki powers, everything else, whatever we possess as a temporal possession or just a virtual possession. However, question is, this is just in Malik here.
I'm calling nafs, nafs, taru soul, but each a real time.
What else do you have? Any needs?
Amal Muslim.
Amal.
It's amazing, isn't it? Deeds. The most virtual thing that you can't touch, but still they're the
realest
ones. But they're the realest ones.
They are the realest ones. Now the question is, whilst we are discussing Allah, right? When we say, Lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. When we say Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, that it is His, which kind of possessorship? Which kind of ownership? Really? Think. Real jinn.
We might use it here.
Huh?
We use it here.
Is it not possible? Huh?
Virtual.
Virtual.
Dhani,
Dhani. Barbad Dhani.
But then what you're saying is if it's vertical, then he has the power to transfer his ownership to Salah.
You don't have to give it to him.
Supposing he has not given only like...
He has given you part of the power, hasn't he? The will. To control your own destiny. To some degree. You see, there are things you can do which he doesn't want. So are you saying it's virtual?
Something, some part of it is real, some part is not.
There must be a third category.
خير الأمور خير الأمور يا وسطها بني ليه لين بوجه
Where are we going with this one now?
To some degree, there is real ownership. So?
Now where are we going with the... Where are we going with Hakiki and Yathribari?
Where are we going?
I mean, Kale, how are we going to fit it now to Malik?
Tell me, Malik, you want somebody to go? Somebody else?
Like Allah uses both, right? Malik uses Malik uses Kareesha.
Malik. Ah, the mulk is here, Allah is here, Malik is here, mulk is here. But mulk is something else. You see, you got to understand, mulk is for Malik, right? The ruler king, the barakalladhi biyadihi, mulk is samadhi. Which is not ownership, which is rules. That means he dictates and he governs the system that are in place. So that is different. That is, once he does that, this determines career and worship. Okay, when he did set up the rules, he has given us the power to decide either to follow him or not.
So mulk means kingdom. Mulk means kingdom. So why say Malik al Mulk and not Malik al Mulk?
Malik al Mulk.
And not Malik al Mulk.
Malik al Mulk doesn't make sense.
The ruler of the kingdom. King of the kingdom. As opposed to the
position. Malik al Mulk is the owner of the kingdom. But Moses, he possesses the whole mulk.
So, Malik al Mulk,
kya hai be dishish?
Be dishish.
Malik al Nas. Malik al Nas. Suje.
Malik al
Nas. Malik al Nas. Surah Mujam.
Surah Nas. Surah Nas. Surah Nas.
Mona Sam.
You said you can.
We are talking of only Malik. So it's both the real and the virtual. Right? Again, Malik is denoted in the verse of the Holy Quran with only love. Lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Billahi ma fi samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Right? That means only with that love, enush. Have e keu che enu. Spit of both. Real che, virtual che. The real part is where he has created the system. And he has given us the powers. The virtually is that he has then given us a limited control of our powers and the rest controlled by him. Is this confusing or what?
Yeah, you left us two chapter lines ahead.
Yeah.
You left us two junctions before. You left us two junctions before.
Yeah, look at Malik. He's the lawmaker as well as the executor of his own laws.
Who is Malik?
Malik. Malik. He is the master who is a lawmaker as well as the executor of his own laws.
I don't know if you recall, we had this interesting discussion some time back. Okay, when you have Allah created a system of cause and effect, that when a cause takes place, the effect will take place. The question is that before, every time before an effect takes place from a cause, does it need Allah's permission for it to take place, or does it take place? You remember this discussion? Right?
For that.
This is Mulk and Malik. Okay, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a certain system in which effect takes place after a cause, once the cause has been initiated, would the effect definitely take place, or would it need permission from Allah before, every time before the effect takes place? What was the answer?
Let me come to a conclusion.
No, we said, I think we said, if
a cause is not going to give the normal effect, it requires permission from Allah.
Awesome.
That is why all the miracles that the
absolutely
word business done.
Absolutely. The cause, if it was the normal effect to take place, then it would take place because there is a tacit approval from Allah, an implied approval by the system which He created. But if there is going to be a change in the system, that is when there will be an intervened command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for example, when we discussed this, I remember, like the example of the fire that was built for Prophet Ibrahim. When Namrud threw Prophet Ibrahim in the fire, fire burns, but Allah intervened by saying, Ya Naru, Kuni Barda wa Salamna.
But we came to the other argument also that everything exists, every particle that exists, exists because Allah gives it permission to exist at all times. And that is a continuous will to exist, not that He made it exist and He'll come back later.
That's a continuous will to exist, but that is implied permission to exist.
But that's His system.
That implied permission to run things. The cause and effects will run on. For wherever there needs to be a disruption in the system, a change, a deviation, that will need explicit permission from Allah.
Can it not be?
مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. This is what Ayatul Kursi says. The shafa'ah is not the shafa'ah of the Day of Judgment. يَشْفَعُ is to intercede even in that system of cause and effect.
I think we discussed, we dealt with that quite a bit last time. يَشْفَعُ مَا مِنْفَعِكَ.
Can you let her? Sorry, you were saying
no. Can't it be that in both cases, whether Allah chooses a system to continue or He chooses a system to deviate, in both it needs His explicit will? So in order to happen or not to happen.
The whole system is running with His permission anyway. Remember, His permission stops, the system ceases. Well, it might not be like every minute is
moving. No, I mean, I'm saying that it is every minute. Every instant.
However you look at it, His permission is always there. Although if it wasn't there, then it would be.
Yeah, I mean, if Muslims if the series of cause and effect, if cause and effect were not predictable, we could not live in a society. We could not create reality.
No, they are predictable, but only because Allah chooses them to be.
It's a round circle thing. No. Then they're saying He has already allowed those.
No, but there's some people actually say Allah created and now He's gone. He'll come back later. No, I'm serious. People believe that.
No, it's true.
And this is the theories people give, that you know, there wasn't an original creator, and that was it. He created and left it alone. But then what's the difference between that and He'll only intercede when He feels like? I mean, everything is intercession. The only difference is it one that's according to a system or one that's against
the
system?
We all agree that it's all happening all the time by Allah's permission. It's just terminology and how we agree.
Well then, what's this explicit and implicit?
Everything
is explicit.
It's only when there's a contradiction that we are saying that.
So there's only one contradiction that we can maybe see it because we're so used to it not there being a contradiction.
Let me just
clarify one or two things. The system is a contradiction.
The word that comes to mind, whether it is izn or irada, we are talking of Allah, right? Okay? Izn or irada are two kinds, huh? Try and understand this in Arabic, because I'll find the nearest English word to explain. There is one that is called Takwini, and one that is called Tashri'i. Tashri'i is from the word Sharia, that means He has legislated a system, and He wants all us. So when you talk of Ibn, Tashri'i, and that means He permits it. Or irada, that means He wants it. Whereas takwini is in a system. The method, the system which He has created. There is His permission, but in a system. Automatic, right? Give you an example. The verse إنما يريد الله ليذهب and so on. You know this verse, right? How would you translate this verse? That verily Allah wants to remove or to keep away all nice things from you. Allah wants to do that from Ahlul Bayt. The key word here is what? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Is this tashri'i or takwini? This wanting. By being takwini, it means it is the system in which he has created. And in that system, he doesn't want any evil things to come near the Holy Prophet and his family. Or does he want, as in saying, look, I want these things to keep away from me. As in the Sharia, legislating it. Do you understand the difference between the two? Because if you tell me it is the Sharia, right, then I would ask, is that would Allah not want it for me and you also? And if you say it is taqwini, which is automatic system in which he has created them in, then if Allah created me in that system, I would equal the same. When we talk of permission, when we talk of irada, when we talk of, you may call this explicit and implicit or whatever it is, taqwini and tashri'i, I don't know how to explain this. I hope you grasp the concepts, please. Taqwini isn't taqwini, that means in an implied manner, in a system that he has created, this thing works like this. In tashri'i, it is legislation, do and don't.
My question is that is there a constant monitoring or not? Constantly. I will go say there is a question of maintaining, can I? The maintaining of the system does not tire. Does not tire him.
لَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْضُهُمَا. Right? He is not tired by keeping up, by maintaining.
So I'm like Sapal asking, is it a constant on a day, on a sort of second to second basis, or is it? I think just by his willing it to be in that system.
Right. It is like he is there.
The whole fact the system itself is the permission. The system itself is. You can't apply time. Two, it's not going to be difficult for him. So whether it's the angels who are monitoring, whatever, it's still with Allah. They are causing the effect.
But like the question that arises, I think, is that if he was to divert his attention, now suppose he was to take away his attention from the system, would it collapse or carry on? That would tell us whether it was an automatic system or one that constantly needed his presence. Not this argument that Allah created Kali and now is powerless to stop is there. It's there in a sense.
Not in us. No, we only, but people do.
But it is argued by Ahlul Sunnah. For sure.
Sure.
Existam che. Allah created Kanaku che. It's not that he can't interfere, he does not interfere.
Kataba Ali. The Quran in the case, كَتَبَ عَلَيْهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He has made it on himself. He has written it on himself. You see, the concepts that I am trying to explain, تَكُونِ وَتَشْرِيعِ, actually mean that Allah set up a system and everything is running by the permission with which He set the system up, except that He has the right to intervene.
Is that what tashri'i means?
Absolutely.
The tashri'i is the changing of the system.
He has the right to intervene. Now, he says that sharia, when he lays down the legislation, for example, he says, you ask for prayers, I will change things. You ask for it, and changes will take place. You do these certain things, changes will take place. That means that he has set out the system by which even changes will take place. His knowledge overcomes everything. He knows everything that is going to happen A to Z. Right? A to Z. Nothing escapes his knowledge. But he has set a system, and within that system he has shown us how to make changes to that system should we so desire. So what he is monitoring is that his system is running smoothly, and that if there are changes to be made, then those changes will take place. And he decides whether changes should take place or should not take place based on the deeds, actions, prayers of a person.
He knows about the changes
already. Sorry?
He knows that.
He knows.
Yeah. So then it's not really a change to him.
No, there's not to him. It's relative to us, obviously. The changes that are to take place is not to him, it's to us. To him, with his knowledge.
The system is going as it should. To us, already.
It's a different thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So to him, it's not a change.
Yeah.
To him, it is a different thing as well. Eh?
No, but he knows what we're doing. He's aware. Yeah.
Change has nothing. Change has got nothing to do with you knowing or not. Change is something different. You see, change is something different. Change is not something you know or not. So when something different happens, it has changed. You may be knowing it, but because it is not the same thing, it is different, there is a change. And that is the change we are talking about. Allah, knowledge has got nothing to do with what happens or what changes. It's got nothing to do with it. Allah knows everything. But what takes that up? The Shri'i Jashay, the system, is where he has left it open for changes. So when we say, those people who say that the system is running in which the system Allah has created, they are referring to the taqwini system. Taqwini Allah has created is running. But within that system there is a tashri'i system. The tashri'i system is where people can actually make changes by prayers, by intervention, right? By deeds. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly.
Can I come back there? What is the difference there between what Allah wills and what He wants? For us, there's a difference. For Him, surely what He wants is what He wills. I can't see how we're going there. In Surah Yasin, we say when Allah wants something and uses the word wants, then all He does is say kun, then it's fayakun. So isn't that the same as will?
No.
If He wills, nobody defies Him.
And if He wants, nobody defies Him.
No, if He wants, then He wants the way. He wants the Sharia, so we all defy.
He wants us all to go to Jannah. He wants us to be good Mu'min. He wants everybody on this earth to be Muslim.
I think when He wills, that's it. Nobody stands in His way. But when He wants,
there's a difference. There is a difference between what He wills and what He wants. You see, try and understand Allah in that light. Yeah, He wills, if He wants, we would all be, forget us, all kafars, all everybody on this earth would have submitted to Him. When the skies and the earth submitted to Him, what is stopping Him from getting all human beings to submit to Him? Is there anything stopping Him?
No, He says if I wanted that, I could do
it. It can happen. If we will it. But what He wants is us to do it on our own accord. With that He has given us. And that is the whole system which He has created.
So how does those two words, idni and arada, relate to taqwini and tashri'i?
Ilm?
Okay, now for example, you're saying He wants something in His system and He wants something outside His system. Mm-hmm. And then He wills something in His system and He wills something outside His system.
The system He has created.
I'm just saying, how are you fitting those two together? Why did you put those two words together?
Which two verses? Idhn and Irada. No.
Together with Tashri and Taqwini.
Taqwini, Tashri are the definition. Idhn, Irada, Ilm, whatever it comes. These are attributes, yeah? These are just two examples. It is the Taqwini and the Tashri that I wanted to explain. Whether it is Irada, whether it is Idhn, whether it is Ilm, whether it is Qudra, whatever it is. It is the taqwini and tashri'i that I wanted to explain. Right. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَا يَئُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. I think we did this last time, didn't we? Pata hai kitna
kursi na to the
kursi no baki shay wasi'a kursiyyu as-samawati wal ard
I think we reach up to the وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ.
Yeah, وَمَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ.
We reached there.
Well, what did you say? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's the future, not the past.
Yeah. مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Although it says behind them, but what is behind them is yet to come. What they will leave behind is yet to come. And therefore it is their future, not their past. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Again, they cannot sort of get anything of his knowledge except what he wishes. That means he can wish to grant part of what he knows to people, to his creation, like he did to the Holy Prophet, to messengers.
What does that word mean, yuhituna? Exactly, what does that word mean?
Which?
Yuhituna.
Yuhituna. Ha'it is to surround, to fence. La yuhituna means they cannot even get into the parameters of what he knows. You know, the perimeters, not the parameters, sorry, the perimeter of what he knows. Right? They cannot surround his knowledge. La yuhituna bishayim min ilmihi. In a fence or in a boundary or in a position.
Not of his knowledge, of anything inside his knowledge.
Yeah. Bishayim min ilmihi.
Or even the smallest thing.
That means ki ame jatlu jane chhe ena vishye, there is so much we do not know. Ayodhi. What we know from what Allah knows. Whatever we know is from what Allah knows. But even what we know, there is so much else we know not about what we know. That only Allah knows. وَلَا يُحِطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. What do you understand by the word kursi? Chair. Chair. Allah has a chair, he sits on it. Such a huge chair, such a large chair that is as wide as the skies and the earth. His throne. Translation was what? Throne.
But
it says
it's on his earth.
Huh?
Arsh, the comprehensive seat of his authority.
Seat of his authority. There is a difference. Kursi and Arsh. Arsh is the throne. Kursi is the seat of his authority. Kursi, this is Kursi.
But why that word? The seat. I mean, that's pointing to something. That's confining it, no? That means it's at a location.
We discussed about Allah's throne.
You know that we
were
talking about that verse, it said
on the day of judgment, 8 angels
will carry
the
Arsh. Arsh, Ahsan,
we were talking about
the
day of judgment. Kursi is the same knowledge, isn't it? Kursi is knowledge. Is what we did.
Arsh is power.
Arsh we did was knowledge, that 8 angels will carry what they know, what Allah knows about every person. Arsh is the ilm of Allah.
And the angels should go up and collect information of what else they could do.
That is Arsh. That is the throne of Allah. Kursi, we're discussing Kursi, which of course we'll discuss next time, not today. Because it needs a lot of understanding. Kursi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he uses the word kursi or arsh, he uses the word his hand, yadullah, maghlulatan ala aydihim. Right? Yadullah maghlulat, sorry. Qalu yadullah maghlulat, ghullat aydihim. They said, the Jews, yadullah fawqa aydihim. Right? So, these words that Allah uses to denote certain parts, hand, eyes, ears, right, chair, seat, throne, these all are used in a certain metaphorical way that explain the function that these parts do, attributing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That detailed study will come from extension, so that we'll understand what is the true meaning of kursi, and wasi'a means as in it covers the skies and the earth. So
when you think of a throne, somewhere where you sit, and you feel the whole of the throne. So if you compare it to Allah, He fills the whole of the heaven and the earth, like you fill a throne when you sit on it.
You fill a throne.
And when you sit on the throne, you encompass the whole, you fill the whole space of the throne.
Not necessarily.
You've got a small guy,
depends. The throne, sometimes, in fact, the throne is symbolic of the kingdom. But the throne is normally very big.
The throne is the symbol of power.
It's a symbol of power, yeah.
But it's also the arsh.
Arsh.
So why kursi here? Why not arsh? Or is there no significance?
No,
I'm sure. Kursi is knowledge and arsh is power, I'm sure.
You can Google it.
Get knowledge in.
Can you add there on Google?
Maybe,
Arsh.
I'll look it up in the island.
I'm not sure about you, Kursi.
I'm knowledge.
I remember when we did the arsh, which was the verse?
I'm a leku shake. According to Ahlul Bayt, both words arsh and kursi signify knowledge and power. And have no relation to anything material.
It's just next time when I come, what we'll do is we'll study it in relation to the other verses that mention these things, whether it is kursi, arsh, yadullah, and all that, and see all these verses are understood through a certain way. The functionality of those things mentioned is what is important. So kursi, what is the function of a kursi then? What is the function of an arsh, of a throne? What is the function of a hand, of sight, of vision, and so on? And from there on, we understand what Allah is referring to.
We just skipped the arsh last time. We were talking really about Mount.
Exactly. But you're right. We were talking about death, and we were talking about the Day of Judgment. And then this verse came in. Arsh, eight angels will carry the arsh on that day.
And that means it's something finite and something limited. Otherwise,
if you take the literal meaning of carry,
I'm taking the eight. Because if it was
eight are doing what with the arsh?
Lifting it.
You're taking the physical meaning of lifting it. Because hamil jiche na yahmiluna ha tamaniya. Yahmilun jiche, that also means carrying out a responsibility. How do you carry a responsibility?
But what I'm saying, whatever they're doing, it must be something that eight have to do and six cannot do and ten are too many.
Barabar,
sir. So it's limited.
It's limited. So it's not a physical action.
No, I'm not saying it's physical. I'm saying it's confined within a boundary or whatever. It's not infinite. So what exactly?
That's true. If eight can carry.
Eight aspects of something.
No, but those are numbers. The number gain is difficult.
No, but whatever the number, the fact is that a smaller number, whatever it was, would not suffice, and a bigger number would be too big.
We shall study kursi, arsh. What are the words there?
Lawh al-mahfuz. Lawh al-mahfuz.
Raj.
Fag.
Latif.
Hal min mazid.
Min mazid? Allah Bukhari.
Hal min mazid Quran ma chhe.
Hal min mazid Quran ma chhe. But eno Bukhari no chhe ke palm.
Yad chhe.
Yad chhe.
Ayn chhe.
Waj.
Watch it.
Ears?
No.
Ears. Well, isn't that the sam actually? The act of listening.
The act of listening.
Inshallah.
This anthropomorphism Askari is that,
isn't
it? What is Askari?
Allah will be Askari.
He has handled anthropomorphism in the Quran. Very nice.
Thank you.
think it's called anthropomorphism in the class. Che, what's Krishna? Baba translate here. Baba translated that part only. The book, what e-book was he translating those chapters?
Which translation gets it?
I think I may have. I looked up. But it's a WF or we get it?
Books in.
Brown color.
It's all a bit of a bit. Brown color is all a bit. It's all a
bit. I'll look it up, I might have
it. Right. Before you go then, आप तुम्हारी किस्मत